Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Metaphysical Hour. I'm Julia Cannon, and my co-host is Tracy Mahan.
Hello, so everybody.
Hi. And as our special guest tonight for our QHHT Level 3 series, so excited to have Monica Dunn with us. Yay!
Hi.
And Monica has been here before, but it's been, what, a couple years ago?
Yeah, I think it was 2017.
3 years ago. I knew it had been a while, but oh my gosh, I didn't realize it had been that long. So fantastic. Anyway, so glad you're back because I know, you know, you had a fantastic story. Used to probably do. And so
no, it's fine.
I'd love to hear it again. And then what's happened since, all your whatever else you want to share. So always wonderful to see you. You are such a, look at what a bright light you are. I just want everybody to just bask in your glow for just a little while.
Thank you.
You are so sweet and you have the biggest heart and I love you. So
I love you too.
You guys, you need me to leave so you can.
Tracy, we love you too.
Yes, we love you too, Tracy. Well, Tracy,
Thank you. My gosh.
We just were talking about beforehand because we were really into some interesting conversation beforehand. And it's okay. You don't need to know. but it was having, it was like, we're going, oh my gosh. And I'm just sitting here. Yeah. And Tracy's like, why do you keep me? I do this all the time and you keep me. And it's like, because I love you, Tracy.
Keep it entertaining. Yeah.
Absolutely. And
you never know what I'm going to say. And that's the thrill of it, right?
That's the something of it. But definitely you keep, yes, on the toes.
Yeah. Yes. It's important. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like cardio for the mind.
Oh my goodness. Anyway, so Monica, tell us all about yourself and your story, how you got into metaphysics, QHHT, whatever you want to talk about. The floor is yours.
Okay. Well, let me just say that I'm so excited and honored to be here, and I love you both, and thank you so much.
Oh, I know. I just finally got to meet you in Mount Shasta, I believe it was.
I know.
Back in September, was that?
Can we talk about Mount Shasta for a minute?
Oh, please.
Yeah. I mean, was that?
That was phenomenal.
What stood out to you as far as like the whole experience? What was making it phenomenal? I'm just like.
A couple of highlights for me was the ecstatic dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that was so good. So freeing and so just yummy and then the sound bath in the woods.
Yes.
Up.
Little shout out to Aurora.
Yes.
I do have to say, if I can, I had her make me a personal sound healing, and we could spend a whole show on the stuff that happens when I listen to that. So.
Oh, that was so healing. And I just felt this, such amazing connection. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Did you notice the energy there?
Oh, yes.
So what I remember more than anything is I was going to say explosive, but that almost makes it sound, feel like, like it was blowing up, but it wasn't like that. It was just, everything was elevated. It was just massive, massive energy, something. Anyway,
yeah.
Put words in your mouth. What did you experience?
She's afraid to talk about it. Now.
I just got it.
You can have whatever experience you wanted to have.
Talk about it, Monica. Let us have it.
Okay, so I'll just go into it. So when I was growing up, I didn't really grow up in the type of place or family where metaphysics were really a thing, which is, you know, it was a choice that I made, and I really had loving parents, and they were amazing. And I was raised on a ranch and in just a small mountain town in Washington State, and had a really lovely childhood in the woods. And then when I was 19, my mom died, and that mm-hmm. really changed everything. You start to really question. And then a year and a half later, my dad passed, and that really just shifted the whole timeline for me and got me seeking, really opened me up, I think, to her. And it, you know, as challenging as it was really truly a blessing. I feel like oftentimes what happens is we have these really challenging experiences in our lives, and they're meant to bring us a gift. And I really feel like I received a tremendous gift through that loss. And, you know, and they're with me. I've been feeling them so much lately, just so much more. And I just think, you know, but as the veils are thinning more and more, I mean, we're all just here together, and that's been a beautiful gift too. So, mm-hmm. 20s, I just, you know, played around, lived life, but there was something underlying, and I was just seeking more, and I knew that I just had to find whatever it was I was seeking. I didn't even know what it was, but everything just started coming in, and I just gravitated towards healing work and just everything metaphysics, astrology, and working with stones, and just every mode of healing I dabbled in, shamanism. I dabbled in energy healing, actually did energy healing for a while. And I just kept searching for a modality. I just felt like I want to be healing people. I want to be helping people to heal themselves, you know? And I, at that point, I think I didn't realize that we are the only ones who can truly heal ourselves. And that's what a healer does. It assists one in healing themselves. And mm-hmm. so that became really important for me. And so it took me about 20 years actually of just seeking and dabbling and traveling. I traveled the world and just found that basically became my education. I did go to school and just wasn't really into it. But I was into traveling and meeting healers around the world and just, you know, having that life experience and connecting with people. And
that's huge. That's a huge learning ground, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you learn so much about yourself.
Yes.
And so then, like I said, I was getting a little frustrated, I'd say, not finding the right fit, because I would try something and it just wouldn't stick, you know, and like, they're great modalities. They're amazing modalities. They just weren't mine. Mm. And then, early 2015, I was really kind of in a rough patch, and I was kind of just not having the easiest time. And, my partner was watching videos and he said, there's this woman I want you to watch on YouTube. And I thought, okay. And of course, Dolores Cannon was so amazing. And really within 5 minutes of watching the video, I said to him, this is my work. I know it with certainty. And I'm going to Arkansas and taking the training.
That's awesome.
And I did. And yeah, and like probably 6 months later, I was in Arkansas.
Wow.
And, yeah, and I haven't looked back. And I mean, it just, it so landed for me. It was just such the perfect fit. I feel like I, you know, as we gain wisdom over the years, what I find is that everything that we've done up until this point has led us to be the wholeness of what we need to be now.
Yes, 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 mm-hmm. yes, absolutely. That was a huge revelation to me when I, yeah. when I realized that about myself, because it was such a departure from what I was doing now was such a departure from what I had done before and what I'd trained to do. And I was having a hard time stepping into that and wrapping my head around that. And then finally one day it dawned on me, wait a minute, I'm using everything I've ever used before. All of that was preparation for now. And then it was like, I get it. It's not wasted.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. And we think it is. I think in our youth, we think, oh, if I'm doing this right now, it has to be the thing.
Right.
that I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And yeah. of course, that's not the truth. And it's just, it's prepping you for where you're headed. And yeah, so I just feel like all of those things I've studied and learned and all the travel, it just so put me in alignment with the path of QHHT. And wow, I feel so blessed. I am so blessed to do this work.
Yeah.
Well, and that's why you're so good. You are really good at it. And so, and I know when we talked before, you had, I'm trying to remember how long you were a level 2 practitioner. Mm-hmm. I don't remember where you were in your level. You hadn't taken the level 3 yet. I know you had wanted to. You were getting ready to. And then you took it shortly after that, I think. And so
you
now
you had to go to Hawaii for that, didn't you?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So talk about that journey, you know, from, cause you were going through, you know, I'm just going and going, and then you're in level 3.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just really wanted to become the best practitioner I could be. And I learned so much every time I went to a live class. It was just, I mean, it's exponential what you glean from that experience, because you're not learning through just like reading and, you know, I mean, you're learning through the whole experience and the synergy of.
Yeah. And everybody that's with you.
Yes.
Yeah. That's the synergy. Yes. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And so, so after level 2, you know, I was just really excited to experience as many sessions as I could. But I have to say, I was a little intimidated by level 3. And so it took me a little while to really work up my courage and my confidence to feel like I was worthy of a level 3 practitioner or something, you know, how we do as human beings. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so then in November of 2018, I went to Hawaii, and yeah, that was so wonderful. Oh, the heart opening there was just so beautiful. I just felt such a beautiful heart connection with everyone there. That just, it really opened me up to a new level. And just having that small group of the 3 of us was just, it was really special to just have that experience. And then to have the feedback on that one-on-one feedback was so, it was so valuable, because, you know, you're going along for years and you think, I got this down. And then someone who's been doing it a little bit longer, like, you know, decades longer or something, kind of says, well, you might want to look at this.
Tweak this little thing.
Yeah. So it was good. It was so helpful. And after the training, I came home and my sessions were just so elevated from there. It just made such a difference. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful.
And you hear that all the time. That's important for people to know, is that it, because they think that, but because it's really not big changes that we make, that, that you're making and everything, but they are very effective, very important changes. And but there, it's a little tweaking. And I remember they always show it to me like the prism, you know, or the fractal thing, and they're always showing it. It's like it might be just a thing like that. It might be that much of a move. It's tiny. And that's how it feels sometimes when you're in the class and you're receiving the feedback. I'm sure it feels like, my God, she is nitpicking.
Oh,
that's a
yeah.
tiny little thing. Why is she dwelling on that one little thing? But that's how they show it to me. It's that little, and that little thing makes a huge difference. It's like just doing that shifts everything. So
right.
that's,
yeah. yeah, so it was really
and
refreshing.
When you embrace it, yeah, and when you embrace it and you do it, it's what we love is to see you take it, embrace it, and make the change, and then you see the effects of it. And you're like, oh, my gosh.
This is working.
It works.
Yeah.
Right.
That part's funny. Yeah. Oh, it's supposed to go like that. Oh, I see.
And we really don't mean for it to be like we're picking on you, but I'm sure it does feel like that sometimes. I know Tracy felt like that.
Oh, I put a voice to it. Quit picking on me in tears. Yeah. I wore my voice out trying to perfect it, but it was good.
Yeah. But you did it.
You did it.
Yeah.
You got there.
Yeah. Just before that last letter of hate mail went out, I caught it just in time. Oh.
They're bigging on me.
Yeah, they stop. Yeah.
But
no,
it's funny,
true, though. There is a way to, mm-hmm. I mean, I honor the process of figuring out, you know, the voice has to be a certain way and the cadence and everything and making it as authentic as we can to what your mom had established. So I think it's wonderful.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Because sometimes, and I don't know that I'm feeling it right now, but sometimes I feel like, or maybe that's, and I don't know that I even need to go here, but sometimes I feel like, or I've heard it or whatever at some point, that trying to make everyone be exactly like Dolores, do you feel like after that process that was our mission, was to make you like little Dolores duplicates, little Dolores clones?
Well, that could be our dream. I would like to channel that through. I don't think that we're supposed to sound like Dolores. Is that what you're asking?
Right. Yeah. Be like little robotic duplicates of Dolores.
The way I would word it is that as a level 3 practitioner, my goal is to bring them that experience. But I don't think I have to be a clone to her.
Yeah.
As much as I'd like to be.
Right.
But yeah.
I mean, but you know, that's not our mission, is to make everybody. I mean, we're not trying to make 1,000 or a million Doloreses out there. We're trying to bring you to your highest potential in doing this technique.
And,
yeah.
And doing it the way that it's meant to be done.
Right.
Exactly. The way that Dolores set it up, because we know that works. We know that works most effectively. So that's the part we're duplicating those things. And I mean, this has gone through a lot of, what is it they call when you take something apart to understand how it works? Reverse engineering. It took a lot of that. We had to do that because, you know, mom just created it.
Right.
And so then whenever we went into the level 3s, and now we've gone to, I mean, first when she was teaching it, it's like, oh my gosh, she had to kind of do a little bit of that herself. It's like, how do I teach this? But then when we started doing the level 3s, it was a matter of really studying sessions and then seeing what, you know, why, how, why was it that she was getting the results she was getting and mm-hmm. this person is not. And we had to, and then we had to completely deconstruct her technique and go figure out what was happening there. And that's where we got all these little fine tunings. And that's why all that little stuff, you know, it's to make it the most effective as it can be with you, you know, so that you are working with that system. We know this system inside and out now. We have completely dismantled it and put it back together and understand every single moving piece and part. So
I can see your mom doing that. Like she was a thinker. Mm-hmm. She wanted to understand.
Well, and it was a huge revelation. We did the first class and we were studying the first videos and we're going through them. It's like, why did that just happen? Why did that person pull up? And we went back. We had to do it several times to fully understand. It was like, oh, it was their voice, the practitioner's voice, or it was the question they just asked. And it was like, oh my gosh. You know, we're always saying ask the right questions, but we didn't know it. It's like, oh my gosh, that's a really big deal. You know?
Yeah.
So
I remember that in mind, you were talking about asking the right questions. And I think I asked a question that was a thinking question, like, where are you or something like that. And so then they stopped to try to figure out where they were. And you're like, oh, don't do that. And it was a big aha moment for me that it did. It took them out of this place and put them in a whole different part of their mind because they're trying to figure out geographically where they were.
Right.
And yeah, so there's that.
Right, and Monica. Not that we're trying to discuss the technique or anything right here. I just was wondering your take on it as to what you see, how you saw your experience and just in that. So anyway, carry on, Monica.
Sure. What would you like to know?
Well, now let's talk. I mean, you've had tons of sessions. You said your sessions really elevated. So what did you see happening and what kind of sessions have you been having? I know I always love to talk about healing sessions. So anyway, if we can just talk about some different sessions you've had and whatever you want to share, different things that have happened.
Great. So I would say that one of the most profound changes that I see in people over, like across the board, is I think the main thing I hear is the subconscious saying, you need to love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, you know, we weren't taught how to do that.
No.
And we think we're loving others when we're not loving ourselves, but really that can't happen. Truly.
Yeah.
So
that's a great topic.
Did they give more information there? Because that's come up on some other shows too. And we've noticed that the listeners really want tangible ways of, you know, how do I love myself? What things can I do that will express that better? So have they given, what kind of advice has come through your clients?
Well, I would say that it's definitely very personal because we all, you know, disperse our energy in different ways. And, you know, for someone, it's the overgiver, you know, where they're just bending over backwards to do everything for everyone except for themselves. And then, you know, they're not wearing their own oxygen mask. And then what good are they for the people around them? I mean, that's a really common one. So, you know, taking care of oneself, and it's not, I mean, self-love is not selfish at all. It serves the all for us to love ourselves truly. And yeah, so that's one example that I hear. And yeah, it's pretty personal. So it's hard for me to remember all of them, but I would say that, you know, that's probably the biggest fallacy that we've been taught is that, you know, take care of everyone else and that's the most loving thing to do. But mm-hmm. really,
yeah, and so many light workers, healers, anybody in this realm, that tends to be what we do.
Yes.
Yeah. And so this is really good. I'm sure everybody can resonate with that.
Yeah. Exactly. So, yes. One really great session. Oh, just one thing. I just want to mention that recently I had a session and around the love, we'll just call it the project love. She came out of her session and I said, how are you feeling? And she said, I feel like pure love.
Mm.
And she said, I feel like there is nothing in the world that I want to change.
Wow. That's profound.
That's so profound.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about this work, is that the work is so profound, and it can be one sentence like that, where you just know the person is so completely changed for life. And yeah, it's mm-hmm. phenomenal, the shifts that take place.
Yeah. Now you're saying it completely changed her life. I know I've had my experiences with QHHT. How about you? With you've gone into sessions. Has it changed your life?
I would say definitely, in less tangible ways, but I mean, just definitely profound shifts. And
yeah,
and sometimes even later on, you know, how they can unravel. It's a very unraveling process too, because it's quantum. And so it's not always happening right in that moment, although it can, and it often does. But really, like I tell people, just your life is going to change, you know, take some notes, because you're going to recognize shifts taking place for years and years. In fact, the rest of your life. I mean, you've just completely changed course.
Yeah. And how you think about approaching the future, and how you look at your path, or questions about your path, everything changes.
Exactly. Yeah. And what I find is that we come from a more loving aspect of ourselves, and we come from, you know, the basis is love as opposed to fear. I had a client recently who was plagued with fear. I mean, she just said, I'm just in fear all the time of everything. And she had had a lot of abuse in her childhood. And after the session, she said, it's gone. Like, the trauma is healed and the fear is not here. It's just gone. And wow.
Yeah, that would be huge, because we know how debilitating fear is and can be. And so for that to be gone, I mean, look at the whole new clear path. You know, her vision of her path was just smooth sailing. I mean, granted, she's going to have other things happen, but to do it without fear.
Right? Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That's
amazing.
I'm going to jump in the chat room for a little bit. Danny is saying hi from Portland. So you and I can both be like, hi.
Hi, Danny.
Is this someone you know?
It could be. Is it a D-A-N-I?
Yep.
Hi, Danny. Yeah. I love you.
I figured that might be a friend if they're from Portland. So
I had a question too. When you were talking about earlier, as you were growing up and then all the interests and all these things, you're like, something, nothing fit. And you just kept searching and searching, and then you knew it when you found it. I'm curious too about sessions that you've had. Did it ever come up that you've had anything where you've done healing work or any kind of work in other lives, you know, along that line of any kind? Does that make sense?
Yeah. I can't say for sure. I have to say most of my sessions have been very odd. Sometimes very playful, and sometimes head scratchers. And, you know, they all make sense. And that's something I want to share too for the audience, and let them know that during a session, one of the best things that you can do before the session is to throw out expectations about how your session's mm-hmm. going to go, what your quote unquote past life is going to look like. I mean, really, I have to tell you.
And let go of everything you saw on the internet.
Yes, exactly. Your session is not going to look like that video you watched.
Yeah.
I was a frog. I was a little frog. I was like a cartoon frog in a castle, and I was the king's right hand man. And I looked down at my shoes, right? We look at our shoes. Uh-huh. I was wearing those really sparkly green with the curled up feet.
You're like, oh no, this can't be.
Oh. Love and it. The practitioner, she was saying, okay, little froggy guy. Oh, it was so fun.
What did it feel like to be a frog?
So many people say, oh, I made it all funny. What? Yeah. You can't make that up. I mean,
I wouldn't have made that up. Are you kidding? No. I would have been some, you know, queen or princess or something, but a little frog man.
A little frog with curled toes. Cute little curly shoes.
Is great.
I do want to share a couple of session stories that one session recently was so fun because she was such a naysaying Nelly. She was just a doubter, and she had a great session, and she came out of the session and she could barely get up from lying down. She said, I'm just so heavy. I feel like I have a lead blanket on my arms. And I was like, yeah, that's what happens when you're that deep. And, but sure enough, she just kept like, wow, I don't know. I'm going to need some proof. And
I was just going to say, usually when they do stuff like that, they need proof.
Exactly. Right. Okay. So she and her partner, that evening were staying at, an Airbnb nearby on this big acreage. And I live in the woods and it's total like wilderness around here. And anyway, and it's known to have some, interesting things floating around. So yeah,
we know what you mean.
they're staying at this place in this little cottage, and they were watching a movie, and or they were about to watch a movie, and just before that she goes, oh, I really need to journal. And so in her journal she wrote, I still need a really strong answer that this is all true. You know, like, but I'm just not making it all up. And I just need some really strong proof. As that was an hour before her boyfriend just felt like he needed to go check out the stars outside. So he went out and he went out to look at the stars, and he heard some really heavy footprints outside. Couldn't see them, but yeah. So he came back in and he asked her, do you have a flashlight? She said, that's crazy that you're asking me that, because I don't ever bring a flashlight, but I was the voice told me to bring a flashlight. Right. Uh-huh. And so he goes back out there, and in a few minutes she hears him start just yelling and just exclaiming, like, you know, expletives. And he's freaking out. And she grabbed the door and threw it open for him. And he came running in, and his eyes were just huge. And he was like, I just saw a Sasquatch.
I was going to say Bigfoot, but I didn't want to say it and ruin anything.
Okay. Oh, but it took him. It took him like 3 minutes. He ran in and he was just like completely out of his body, right? I mean, actually, literally, he was having an out of body experience, because it took him about 3 minutes to tell her what took place. He had a Fitbit on, and the Fitbit stopped all heartbeat, no signals of there being a body for 3 minutes. Yes, true out of body experience.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Crazy. And so anyway, so, and he had asked her, get this, he asked her, would you ask about Sasquatch in your session? And she said, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to waste one of my questions.
Waste it.
So he got his answer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then for anyone that doesn't know, Monica is in total Sasquatch country. People go where you are to see if they can find Bigfoot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure. And clearly they're here. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so that was amazing. And then since then, they've both been having just off the charts experiences. Like, he's just completely speaking from his higher self. And I mean, it's just, it's been phenomenal. So know too, that when you shift your vibration by having a session, you are shifting everyone around you mm-hmm. as well.
So oh, that's a good point. Yeah.
Very good. That ripple.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was a super fun.
Wow.
Experience.
Yeah. So have you seen Bigfoot?
I haven't, you know, I always say it's because I was born a believer. Like I believed in everything and I just went, sure. Why not? Yeah. So they don't need to show me. I need to stop believing. So they'll show me.
No, I think they probably just love that you believe in them. Yeah. Can you sense when they're around?
I can't say that I do. I sense nature spirits, though. I mean, I definitely feel like they're here on the land that I live, and that's really
That's pretty cool.
I have a connection with them.
Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. So. Another client recently, he came and he was really new to all this, like really pretty brand new. And he had, his son passed away, a few years before. Someone had recently told him, your son passed so that for your awakening, you know, to get you to really start seeking an awakening. And so he had a really great session and really connected strongly with his higher self. And he went home and he sent me an email the next day and said, and let me just tell you, the guy, he's such a great guy. He's in his 60s. And really pretty conservative and just like not into this stuff, right? Well, he was pretty blown away. So he went home and he said the next day, he just all of a sudden wasn't feeling well and needed to lie down. And who was it that did that? Well, he had to lie down and he said, and all of a sudden he said, it was so incredible. My higher self was completely one with me. Like it was, he said all of a sudden it was like this strong voice just came through loud and clear and just like, he couldn't even believe it. Was so blown out of the water. And he said to me in his email, he said, we are now one.
Oh,
wow.
Yeah.
That's huge.
That was so beautiful and profound. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he went from 0 to 60. I mean, whatever it is, 100. very, very quickly.
So, no kidding.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Be done. And there is no age limit.
No.
There isn't. And for anyone who thinks that they have to have this like deep spiritual background, it's also not necessary. You know, anyone can receive incredible healing and transformation through a session.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is fantastic. And, you know, and there's so many different ways that the healing happens. And that's what I love about this. It's not just the physical, although it will eventually be the physical. I mean, many times it's emotional, it's mental, it's something up on this other layer. And that is huge when that happens. And then it eventually kind of filters in then to the physical. It can happen on the physical immediately, but it's usually going in these layers. And so that's really cool to see how they'll change these things will start changing in them. And then all of a sudden, like you say, like maybe a year later or something, all of a sudden your whole life is different. And it's because it was doing all these different changes in there.
Yeah.
Right. Definitely. And I've had so many clients say that, you know, years later, these changes have come about and they absolutely know it was from the session, you know, a year later and yeah, that's always cool. I have one more session that I would like to share because it was so neat because it was a while before I really heard back from her, but I'm going to have to read it off the paper because there's kind of a lot. So she said, "My fear of flying was so greatly diminished. I don't need pre-flight meds any longer. I'm no longer sleeping without meds or wine. I was able to completely discontinue those. During the session, I was given a gift by my tribe." That's what they called themselves. And they told her of a spot on her sternum to press when she got really emotional, because she was especially emotional and that was an issue for her. Mm-hmm. So she said, "I've used that spot multiple times since then, always with success." She said, "It works so well that it recently occurred to me that it must be a thing. So I Googled it." And she said, "Sure enough, it's a well-known acupressure spot, the CV17, aka the Sea of Tranquility."
Wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking, don't they do that a lot with the tapping?
Yeah, the tapping, right.
The sternum, and so it's like that. That's one of the main places that they do it.
Yeah.
So, and she said that was worth the price of admission. Learning about that spot. But it goes on.
So, first of all, so they just tell them to just touch it? Is that what they were telling her to do? Or would she have to do anything or press it? Or, I mean, if it's an acupressure.
They said to press on her sternum.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, press on this spot.
You're going to see an audience full of people walking around. Yeah,
we're all pressing on our sternum. Yay. I love the Sea of Tranquility.
Yay!
Hey!
Yeah.
So, okay. So then she said, and she said it gave the doubting Thomas in her proof that it was guided by something rather than her intellect, mm-hmm. and that she wasn't making it up. Right. It was given. And so she said, then she listened to the session and there was this part about her left shoulder had calcification tendonitis, and it had been addressed during the session, but you know, she wasn't really sure. So she'd been taking tart cherry juice for several years to address it, and that worked, and it was an anti-inflammatory and it took the pain away. So she travels internationally quite a bit, and so she traveled internationally and she couldn't take it with her. And back up. Normally when she would travel internationally, she would get the pain back. Mm. So then after the session, she was, the brand of tart cherry juice was no longer, she couldn't find it. And so she was concerned that it was just going to come back. And so she thought, well, I'm going to just keep looking for it. But in the meantime, I'm just going to do a little test to see. And she said, it's been a year and there's no pain.
Awesome.
Wow. So it's just, it's so fun to see people just wake up to the healing is real. Mm-hmm. As Tracy would say, the magic is real.
It's real.
Yeah, it is. And we are magical beings and we are just so full of potential to just completely heal ourselves entirely of anything.
And that's really the thing everybody needs to know is how, and that's a very natural ability for mm-hmm. ourselves. And we think it's such a big deal, but it's like, really, if you just look at the body, it's healing itself all the time. You get mm-hmm. a cut, it heals it. If you get, you know, it's doing these things constantly. So if it can do that, why can't it do the bigger things?
Right. You
know, that's what they've always said is the body is designed to do this, designed mm-hmm. to have no aches or pains and to heal itself if we do not interfere, if man does not interfere. So it's just a matter of first trust yourself, trust your body. It can do this. And it's just a matter of understanding it.
Monica, I have to say that your picture keeps freezing, and that time you looked very serious when Julia was talking. I was like, she's really taking this in.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll try to keep a smile.
Yeah, keep smiling. Just, I'll just keep the freezes. Yeah. You were just like
you were starting to go, you were and we went on to there's something else. Is anything going on in the chat room that we need to know about or?
Well, we do have a lot of people waving and saying hello. And Wendy is in here with saying that we answered questions for her, and she was laughing at don't waste your questions QHHT session, which, yeah. I mean, how many of us have had people show up with sheets and sheets of questions? You can condense them. That's always nice. But yeah, lots of people in there. So after the show, if you can get over to the Dolores Cannon page or the BBS radio page and just go through those comments, then you can see what everybody's putting in there. But hello to everybody watching.
Yay, hello.
thanks for watching and joining us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that Judy from Australia was going to set her alarm so that she could be here with you for the show today. So she's excited to get to know you as well. She's one of the practitioners. And I just love it. She's always like, because we've been pre-recording the shows and they've been getting aired while we pre-record, right? So she was writing me this week going, are you guys going to pre-record or is it at the normal time?
That's Tracy's thing again, keeping everybody on their toes.
Yeah. Right.
You never know when we're going to show up.
No. And, you know, sometimes that's the fun of it, just being so random. Spontaneity.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. I'm noticing our time before, I don't want it to run out before we, everybody can find out how to find you if they want to contact you, Monica.
Great. The best way is through my website, which is monicadunnqhht.com. Pretty simple. And, or you can also, you can email me at monicadunn@hotmail.com. And yeah.
And then you're in Washington. Is that right?
I'm in Washington State and I'm on the border of Oregon and Washington. And in some places I list my location as Hood River, Oregon, mm-hmm. because I did work in Hood River and because no one knows where my tiny little town of White Salmon, Washington is. And I'm just across the river from Hood River.
You'll have to go to East Gedi with us in August.
Yeah, that would be fun. Oh, great. And I'm 15 minutes away from East Gedi Ranch.
Yeah. Yeah. We know you're seeing things in the sky.
Yeah.
And So that's going to be in August. We can talk later about that. But I put Monica's information in the chat rooms for her website. Go there. Check her out. Get to know who she is so that you can go see her for a session and have a Bigfoot experience maybe
or a sighting
movement in the sky.
Well, that's
right. And I've had people combine going to East Gedi with having a session. I had a woman come from Honduras who went to East Gedi and came to visit me. I'll say and Austria also. So that's fun.
It is. That is fun, and that does attract people from all over. So, Just real quick, if people don't know what Isetti is, it's a ranch over in Washington by Mount Adams where you can go skywatch is what they call it and see the ships going in and out of the mountain for the inner earth. So you can go check that out if you want to.
And I'll ask you, Tracy, you've been there. Have you seen
ships? Have I seen what?
The ships.
Yes. Yes. And heard the Bigfoot. Didn't get to see him, but I did hear him. Making his little screech noise, and somebody caught it on audio and they were playing it and they were trying to figure out if it was an animal, a coyote, anything like that. And you know, the local people that were there were like, oh no, it's not a coyote. And so that was really interesting to experience that. But yeah, there's a lot of movement in the sky. And the first time I went, it was James's birthday, the one that runs the ranch. And we were all out for Skywatch that night, and this ship came down. It came pretty low, and it did like this little circle around where we were standing and then took off. And I tried to catch that on my camera or on my phone. Don't waste your time doing that. Just enjoy the moment, because I was moving so much that you couldn't tell if it was the light moving or if it was me. So it was like my evidence was no evidence whatsoever. Like, just enjoy what you're there to enjoy. And, you know, people that are drawn to it are just going to naturally be drawn to it. So, yeah. How about you, Monica? You live over there.
I have not been to Isetti yet. I can't believe it. I have made, you know, I've put some calls in, but you do need to call in advance and give some notice or email or something. So I'm like you, I'm a bit spontaneous. And so when I want to do something, I kind of just want to do it right now.
Yeah. Let's just go do it. Yeah. So. That's it. I'm picking you up on the way.
Okay, great.
August 7th. Jump right in.
Excellent. I'm going.
That's right.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah, we just got to get Julia there with us too.
It's a little bit more than a road trip for me.
Have you been, Julia?
I have been. I was there once, and I did not see anything, but I definitely felt them. Everybody was out in the field and calling them and doing it's probably just something they do. This is almost like a ceremony or something. And Mom and I were standing a little more closer to the buildings and everything. And I was looking up in the sky, but I could feel a presence over my right shoulder, and it was like, oh, they're right here, and they were talking to me, and it's like all you have to do is talk to us, we're right here. And I kept looking like I'm gonna see something. That's how solid it felt. And it's like, no, there was nothing there, but I mean, I didn't see anything, but it sure felt. Then Mom saw up in the sky, she saw this flash do this, and she's the only one that saw that. So it's like each person, I think, has their own personal experience.
Yeah, that could be true too, very much. And it's fun to see what groups of people, it's just like your classes, Julia, it's fun to see what groups of people show up to certain weekends. You know, when you show up there, you know, the people that are there, there's no mistake in the people that show up when you're showing up. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Well, it's kind of like what you're saying in your session, Monica, about the tribe. You know, I think everybody's making these plans on this other level, you know, okay, we'll all come together here. You know, it's there's no accident. There's never any accident or coincidence that all these people have, you know, you're probably going to find out they were all in other lives together, and they're doing things on the other side together. It's just,
yeah. Very cool.
I mean, really, we have interesting lives. I mean, just what we, don't yeah. we?
I love our lives. We have the best. Yeah. We get to do things that, you know, as children, we could only dream about. I was asking somebody the other day, I was like, could you imagine as a child, if somebody would have told you you were going to be doing this? It would have been like, what? That would be like, your eyes would get big.
Any child in us probably would completely get it.
You
know?
Yeah.
The little child.
Oh, I don't know.
They're just all like.
The big child in me gets it.
So. It's when you go through those, I'm trying to think what age that you start. Is it like 9, 10?
Oh, they say about Well, it depends on who you ask, because the veil starts to get thin after about 4 or 5. Like, kids will remember past lives and stuff like that and start talking like it just mm-hmm. happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. And then around 4 or 5, that kind of starts to fade out. Mm. I don't know. Have you heard anything on that, Monica?
I've heard 7. The age of 7. Like, that's when the cord is removed from the mother and, you know, or.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. Mm-hmm. 7's like a pivotal year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 So we want that time before. Oh, I was like, Don saying my youngest did that until 5. Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like we want that time like before. Yeah. While they're in that, because when you're in that place, that's what we're experiencing now. It's that wide open place and time, and anything is possible. And it's like, then somehow that fades away, and we get into this, I guess, ingrained thing, or we start being socialized or something. I don't know what, you know, and so that may be what starts moving that into the other direction. And then now it's like we're back, you know, now we're in this world again. And so many of us is, I want to believe. We just have to go back to that child. That child is still there, and that child believes.
Yes.
That child knows.
And yeah. You know, as you were saying, anything is possible. Monica, I bet if you asked Julia, could you sing it for me? For that.
I'll be crazy.
No, not today.
I'm like, what?
She has a song for that.
No.
Now, I think that was very, I mean, it's appropriate now, but that weekend or whatever, when that was happening, it was like this really big thing. So I think that was a message that I needed at that point that was super big. And all I could hear, I kept hearing the song. I don't remember what we were talking about. All of a sudden, the song kept coming. I kept hearing, it's possible, it's possible, it's possible. I'm like, why do I know that? And I was knowing all these words, and I'm like, oh, it's this. And I finally figured out what movie it came from and everything. Tracy's like, no,
I don't remember that song.
I mean, but it was really bugging me to the point that I had to Google it, because it's like, I know.
And she sang along with it.
I was telling you the scenes and everything. I'm like, it's probably, finally I got, I bet it's Cinderella because of the way the scenes were. And it was. Yeah, it was like the original Cinderella.
So. But it is possible. And that if there's anything that I've been learning over the course of all of this beautiful work that we do, is that we are creating this, and the magic is real. Mm-hmm. And as we believe in it, we create it. And so, you know, I think you were talking earlier with Kaya about, you know, if I'm not watching something, is my head in the sand? Oh. No, you're creating your reality.
Yes, yes.
You are creating your reality, and you have every right to create the reality of peace and non-conflict. And just like other people have the right to do what they want to do.
Exactly. And that was interesting, though, because it came in as a, oh my gosh, is that because they said it to me? They said, well, it's not in your world. And I took it. I was like, is that wrong? I mean, that's where I went. Is that wrong? It's not my world. Although that's, I truly believe that. I mean, I'm just in my own little bubble, and I see it every day. I'm really in my own little bubble. Sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, I really am. And then it's like, oh, maybe that's not good. And so that's why I was questioning it. And that's very loud and clear what came after the show to me too. It's like, no, this is what you do. This is
it's what you're sharing with the world, that all of us can do this. And like Monica was saying with her session, she came out and didn't want to change anything about the world.
Yeah.
And let everybody have their experiences and do their thing. You get to do yours. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I want to speak to that, because I also dropped in for part of that this morning with you and Kaya, Julia. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I that really resonated with me, you saying, am I just being an ostrich? Because, you know, sometimes I question myself, and, you know, I think we all kind of say, am I doing enough? I want to just send a shout out to everyone who's working with the light and bringing more light to the planet right now in every way possible. And there are, you know, 8 billion different possibilities of how to bring light to the planet, and it doesn't have to look like someone else's way.
Yeah. Exactly. I got a nice visual of that one day where it looked like a disco ball. Everyone that was bringing the light to the planet. And it was like different colors, different frequencies, and just like you were saying.
It shoots off as it revolves.
And yeah.
That's a great visual.
So yeah, I love that visual. And that you brought it back when you were saying everyone gives off that light, and beautiful stuff.
And I appreciate you guys saying that, because I mean, because that's where I was coming from, is like, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I realized, oh my gosh, I actually created it. But then when that came in this morning, I'm like, oh my gosh, maybe, see that, I think that's how things happen. It's like, oh, maybe that's not okay. Maybe that's not, you know, and it was like, and then I immediately behind, I'm like, I'm going to create this other. If I think I need to pull in the other, I'm going to create it. And it's like, and so I'm really happy in my world that I create. And so I'm perfectly content with it. It's just sometimes it feels like, well, maybe, you know, because some people say you're not being responsible, you're not being what, you don't know what's going on. Well, it's not impacting my world to know one way or the other. I'm quite content.
You know, and I did that tug of war too. And I realized that as a light worker, I came in, and this could change, but right now I came in to bring peace. Mm-hmm. So if I'm putting my focus on things that aren't peaceful, then it's hard for me to bring in that frequency of peace. So I think, you know, go to what you're drawn to do. If you're drawn to do the protesting, if you're drawn to advocate for something, then go do that. You know, mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that everybody around you has to do it, you know, but we are changing the world. With each one of us, we all came in with the thing that we're going to be drawn to do. And we all have our little assignments that we're, you know, that we took on. So,
And I think that goes back to what we've said so many times, where they're saying, be true to yourself. And that's what that is, like, do what is right for you. You know, it may not be what's right for the person next to you. I mean, the whole group of them may be doing something else, but you know, if you find what feels good, do it.
Yeah.
Right. I love the disco ball analogy, because I see it right now as the light of source coming in and shining out through all this, you know, this disco ball. And everyone is going to make a different, you know, refracted light. Everyone is going to make a different pattern.
And it takes everyone.
Yeah,
the ball.
Right, to make that disco ball.
I notice it if there was any pieces missing, or they're blacked out, or anything. So it takes them all.
So going back to the being true to you, what do you call the guy that stands in front of the symphony? Is that the conductor or something?
The conductor. Yeah.
Is it? Because I got I was looking at some stuff that I had written down. Yeah, that guy. And I wrote it down so that I could say it right, because it was popping in while we were talking about the self-love. And they were saying, you can't expect the symphony to play a song the conductor doesn't know. So if you're the conductor, you can't expect the world outside of you to reflect back to you something that you don't know for yourself, right? So if you're not having self-love, then how can the world reflect love to you? So it's going to bounce back to you what frequency you're putting out. So when we're in our little bubbles, you know, we're putting out that love, our disco ball, our light, whatever it is that we're doing, that's the energy that we're pulling in, so that we can amplify that. So we can all come together and make it even brighter and bigger. It's not that I'm ignoring anything that's going on around me, but when I sit in meditation, I'm sending love to that, and not the fear-based stuff, that as much as I can do that. You know, I'm not perfect, but you know, that is my strongest tool, I think, is to bring in that love and send that to all those people that are out there fighting for a good cause, working through their stuff, putting their energy out. And hopefully that's going to be my symphony coming back, is all the love, right? So that's what I want my band to play, my beautiful orchestra. So that was another visual that I was getting a couple weeks back. I got that one.
Nice.
And I just stumbled across it today, and I was like, how interesting that I'm seeing this, and now it makes sense because we're talking about it.
Beautiful. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
We have a conductor with a disco ball over his head.
That's yeah. right. Yeah. And the music might be a little bit jammy, but, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Great. Okay, Monica. Anything you want to, you have anything else profound wisdom that you would like to share with everyone?
Oh.
It pops into your head right then. Boom.
I just want to say, do whatever brings you joy and peace and harmony to your heart and your soul, and you change the world by doing that. So just know that with all the suffering that takes place on the planet, and especially right now, this is a very challenging time on the planet, and I want to send love to everyone who's suffering and say that we're all with you and we all send you love. And it's also really okay to be in a loving, joyful space when someone else is suffering. It's really okay. And not only is it okay, but you're anchoring that in so that they can then be, you know, find a way to it.
That's beautiful.
It is. And that's a very good point. A very good point, because sometimes when others are in, or even yourself, if you're in a down place, if there's stuff going on in your immediate world, it's hard. I mean, sometimes, I mean, I'll just tell my own personal thing. I was in a situation that it was at the time when I lost everything, and I was probably as low. I mean, my whole situation was probably as low as you can get, as far as I was concerned. I mean, it was like, it just... And I'm like, I don't know if it can get any worse than this. That it was that low. And like the second day, something happened, and it was actually funny. And I started laughing, and because it just struck me as funny. And then I was like, oh my God, I felt so guilty about laughing because of my situation. And I'm like, wait a minute, that was really funny. It's okay. This is just an experience. This is just right. something that I'm going through, and it's okay to laugh. And so I think that helped me through it faster, because, you know, otherwise it'd be so easy to get caught up in it. And I was caught up in it. There was fear. There was the whole nine yards with it. But that laughter just helped tremendously. And it was other people. They did something funny, and it was just genuinely funny. And so I forgot for that instant what was going on. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm supposed to be despondent. But I didn't feel despondent right then. So it's like I was struggling.
You know? Yeah, but we do that all the time. I think everyone listening could relate to that.
Yeah. So I love that. You're like, you know, you're giving permission. You know, it's okay. And if others are having situations, you know, so many times it's like, I don't know if we've been taught this or what. It's like to get into the same vibration that they're in, get in the same pity party or whatever, and not to call everything as a pity party, but it's that despondent energy that, you know, it's like we're in that place, we want company there, you know, it's like to go there, but that doesn't help. You know, the best thing is like some people, I'm so worried about this person. And that's the vibration that they're sending, is that worry and that dread and that sorrow. And it's like, remember, it's all energetic. And what we send, what we feel about for someone is energetic and is what is going to them. So the best thing I think we can do is send them love, send them support, send them, you know, send them high vibe stuff. You know, if you know what, they will get to a place where they will see this differently. You know, it's not going to stay there forever. Nothing does. It all changes. And something that gets me through every time when I'm having some things going on to help remind me is that phrase, this too shall pass.
Just
everything changes. It all moves. Nothing stays in any one place.
And here's another golden one for people that are looking for something. If it's meant to be, it will not pass you by. So put those two down. Yeah. Write them down. If it's meant to be, it won't pass you by. And this too shall pass if you're in a bad time or going through something. Yeah. So.
Yeah. It's so easy. It's so easy to get caught up. And I like that too. It will not pass you by if it's meant to be, because how many people come to us? It's like, is it going to happen? I really want this. And all.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say if it's showing up in your life, there's a reason it's there. There's another one for you.
We ever find that in our work?
Yep.
Why did this show up? Well, this is actually what's the point there?
Yeah. Let's go look at that.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Exactly.
Okay, so I'm going to ask everybody, this is an assignment.
Oh.
For the audience, this is an assignment. Is stay aware. Be aware of what is happening in your life. Be aware of these little things, and then just ask these questions. You know, wonder why that's happening. Makes you more aware of the things rather than getting caught up in them. It's you can stand back and go, okay, why is that happening? You're taking a different approach to it. That's huge right there. But just start asking that question. Why is that in my life?
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, especially if especially when someone triggers us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's a great one to go, oh, I wonder why I'm getting triggered.
Yes.
Oh, because no one's doing it to me.
Yeah. Right. So let's explain that trigger thing. Because somebody might not understand being triggered.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, say you're, let's just say a partner does it, because they're so, you know, I mean, that's about the easiest one that people can relate to, who hasn't had that experience where they say something and you just go, how, you know, you just immediately react. And it's funny because someone else could have said it and it wouldn't have had the same response, but we get triggered. Mm-hmm. And we just have this reaction instead of just holding our power and staying in that really peaceful place of, oh, interesting that you said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like you said, that is something. So if that happens, take note and then wonder why that bothered me. Why did that trigger? Why did that make that emotional reaction to that?
Yeah. Yes.
And then we can address that next week.
Yes.
This assignment is just start noticing these different things that are happening in your life. Be aware.
Yeah.
This will be an ongoing thing.
Make a note that we're going to go back to that.
Yes. Yes.
Look at that. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Oh, well, this is wonderful. So anything else, Monica, that you would like to share before we sign off?
I just want to send peace to the planet and to everyone on it, and know that peace can be a reality for anyone on the planet. I mean, I just know that it can be, and because it's an inner state. Mm-hmm. And if we could all get there and all choose to live in harmony with one another, I mean, I know it's possible. And like I said, everyone working to bring light to the planet right now is doing it in their own beautiful way, and keep up the good work. And yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Right.
Yeah. I say be ready to make some changes and then beautiful things can happen, but you have to be in the flow of that, of the change.
And yeah.
And so
the change
and be open.
Mm-hmm.
Be open to things new and different, because we can't go back and have our world the way it was before. And
we didn't work this hard for that.
No.
So embrace the change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Go with the flow and keep seeing the world the way you want it.
Yes.
Desire it. Peaceful, joyful. Julia, I keep feeling like we need to say hello to everyone around the world. And it is like, it will not leave my mind to the point where I can't sit still. So I just want to thank everyone all around the world who's watching. I know that we have people all over the planet that watch the Metaphysical Hour, and you don't go unnoticed. We see you.
Absolutely. And, yeah.
Yeah. It's beautiful. Thank That's you for your incredible. Support out there, you guys.
Yes. Thank you. We're always amazed. So amazed that anybody watches this.
What? No, everybody watches this. They got it. You know why they tune in? They say, I wonder what Julia and Tracy will say today, because they have a theme, but they never seem to stick to it.
Oh, no. Yeah, that was when we were just doing the shows together, and we would have a theme. And I don't know if we ever did do them.
We might have brought it up.
Touched on it, and then we kept. But that's how
it's viral.
Spirit works and everything. I mean, it's like, I mean, you know, that once you're on this platform, then they have the show, and then they're going to come in and they take over many times. It's like, okay, no, that was nice. That was to get you going, but this is what we want to talk about now.
It was to put you at a peace of mind that you'd have a subject, but anyway. Yeah. So again, thank you everyone for all your support, all your love. Your chat room, the people in the chat room. If you don't know how to get to the chat room, we go on Facebook Live with BBS Radio. So find their page and join up. And we also do the Dolores Cannon, official Dolores Cannon page. Mm-hmm. And I need to talk to you about the QHHT page, because you put my wrong account, I believe, as the admin, and I can't post there. So.
Oh, no. We must fix that.
Okay. So yeah. Anyways, we're trying to get this out to as many people as possible, because we want you all to know, one, all of the lovely practitioners that have studied under Julia and Dolores and are doing their best to change the world. And so we're doing our best to make sure everyone knows about them, right? Mm-hmm. So thank you, Monica, Absolutely. For being here.
Yeah. Thank you both so much. It was such a joy and an honor, and I love you both. And thank you for all the work that you do.
Oh, thank you, and loving you back. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I'm swinging by on the 7th. I'm going to throw you in the car. You're going to East City.
We are going to get together in person.
Yeah, yeah. We keep promising. We really don't live that far apart.
You could probably just meet in the middle, and
yeah, and one day. There. One day we'll plan that.
Yes.
When it's easier to go somewhere and meet in person without 6 feet of separation, we're going to do that. Wonderful. Julia, how do people sign up for classes? What's going on? Tell us about that.
Okay. Well, right now, because of the virus and everything, all the situation, everything's still kind of up in the air. So the only live class right now that we feel secure in promoting is our level 2 class and the reunion that will be in Bali, Indonesia. So, and I know some people go, but that's not in the United States. Well, we had some in the United States. Yeah. You know, we really did have things all around the world, and we had to change what we were doing because of everything. And we're just waiting to and we're hoping that Bali will still happen. I mean, it's in November, so we feel pretty good about it.
Yeah.
But you know, we're hoping. And anyway, so there's that. We're starting to maybe do a little planning for next year. But otherwise, if you are interested at all in QHHT, we have our level 1 online. It's always running online, so you can always do it there. And very soon we will have our level 2 online that we're doing just because of this situation. We've got to help people get to that next level, because we are shut down too about being able to do level 2 live. And that's usually where we do it. But we want to make sure everybody can have this experience and get their skills fine-tuned more. So anyway, we're doing that. We're doing our best to bring it to you where you are. And you can get all the information if you're interested in any of these classes at QHHT official. QHHTofficial.com.
Wonderful. And they can find practitioners in their area there.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're looking to have a session, you know, or you can go see Tracy or Monica, you can go to them if you're able to travel, or you can go look for somebody in your area, which we really encourage you to do, because we have practitioners all over the place. They are around the world, every country around the world. So just look on there. There's probably somebody somewhere in your vicinity. So go on there. It's find a practitioner page. You can look people up by their state, you know, just your vicinity. You can find someone, see who resonates with you.
Lovely.
Have a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Now go be part of the disco ball and see what the symphony is that's playing back to you.
Anyway, love you all. So glad you're here. Big shout out to everyone out there and all the future yous that are going to be listening to this. We love you. If you're listening to this, if you're watching this, you are ready for this information.
Woohoo!
Yes. That's good. I always love that, because who guides all of this? And they know who is listening. They know who's watching, and they will guide you to be here if it's the right time for you.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you. And thank you, Monica.
Thank you so much
for being here. Love you.
Love you.
Yeah. Love you guys. Okay.
Yes.
Bye, everybody. Yeah. I know you two got a thing going, but I'm just going to be in it a little bit.
Anyway, love you all, and we'll
Bye,
see you
everybody.
Next week. Bye.
Great.